I looked down and said, "Are you all right?" And he went, "I can't help you. It's not my time anymore. It's my kid's time." And I never forgot it. I just thought to myself, what an amazing thought. He went, "No, I can't. This is not my time anymore."
Welcome everybody to another Outside Crowd podcast, and we're here today. We've got two lovely guests. We've got Karen and Anne from Birth Connections, and we'll explain why they're here in a minute. But I'll introduce you again to the team. So we've got Ryan.
Yo.
We got Jake.
Hello.
We got Billy.
Hello.
And myself, JB. And today, it's very important because in a couple of days' time, Jake will hopefully be becoming a father. So how that affects everyone within the outdoor industry, it's a major thing, and it can have lots of sort of repercussions on how people can run their business and how your life will change when you have a new baby. So we've got Karen and Anne from Birth Connections.
Hi.
And what we'll do is ask them a little bit about their business first of all, and then also some advice on how they can how the life will change for Jake, and advice they can give him, and also everyone else in the industry as well. So first of all, we'll hand over to Karen, who's a midwife, and then to Anne, who's also a midwife and a therapist. So firstly, Karen, Anne.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you for inviting us today. It's really nice to join you on this. My name's Karen. I'm a midwife. I've been a midwife and worked in the NHS for 40 years, which I'm very proud of. And we set up the business Birth Connections, myself with Anne, because we worked together and we felt there was quite a need for mums to have support once they've had their babies. And there was we found a bit of a lack of this, and there's such an increasing instance of mothers feeling that their birth experience was traumatic.
So hi, this is Anne. I was a midwife and now I'm a hypnotherapist and I do hypnobirthing. As Karen said, we just found that there was a real lack of support in the community for particularly postnatal support. So once you've had your baby in your home, you're sort of left to get on with it. So we sort of found that we'd like to give families support right from the off, really antenatally, and sort of right the way through to birth and beyond into the postnatal period. So really that's why we set Birth Connections up, because there was just so much lacking, wasn't there, in the community?
Yeah, I think so. And the increased anxiety for women seems to be, well, on the increase, and they just need the support of other women. They need support of the community. And just generally, we felt we could fill that gap.
Yeah, definitely. And also talking about partners too, there's not much out there for partners. So really important to look at them too and see what they need.
Yes. And the advice that you give, is that face-to-face or is that online or is it a mixture of both?
It's all online. We do a wellbeing drop-in cafe,
right,
for mums to come and have their babies weighed and talk about anything that might be worrying them. And lovely as it is, we've had quite a few men that come in. They come in with their babies.
Brilliant.
And looking after, they've either got extended maternity leave, if they are so lucky to have that, or they are looking after baby while mum is doing other bits and pieces.
Right, yes. Yeah, I remember that time well.
Yes, it is really nice. And I think it's difficult for men to feel inclusive in these groups because they're often labelled as mum's groups. But, you know, it's nice to have men to be, you know, they're caring for their children.
Yes, yeah. And I think most men nowadays want to be more actively involved in it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But
they
probably don't know much about it at all. So we're probably lost. So I don't know how much knowledge Jake has got of it all. So, but I suppose, firstly, Jake, how do you feel? What's your current feelings about it? Or are you nervous? Are you excited? What's your general, and how's Saskia getting on?
Saskia's doing really well. She's a bit of a trooper. She was reluctant to actually tell her bosses that she was pregnant. She's so into her job and quite good at it. She just wanted to stay there as long as possible because she felt that she didn't want to feel like they wouldn't give her tasks to do because she was pregnant. So she still wanted to take on the task she was given. But since she's actually quite bored, since she's sort of waiting for the baby to come now, she's actually got another 13 months off, which is quite a long time considering she's bored after 3 days. But
I
think initially it's quite a change when you're, if you, you know, lots of women now have careers, both men and women work perhaps equally. So it's quite a change to then be at home with a small baby.
I do actually feel very guilty because she was doing really well in her career. And it's a given, obviously, that the lady has the baby. But we're in it together. However, I'm further in my career while she's at a pause in hers.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty, not because it's, I'm doing it for both of us anyway.
Yeah.
But I still feel that element of guilt because it's Saskia's life on pause for quite a few months. And it's majorly life-changing for both of us, but Saskia especially. So
I suppose there's a lot of things, isn't there, that come up and you may not even think about, things like guilt and how you deal with that. Okay, so as Jake hasn't got long now before baby's coming, what are the main issues that you've come across in the way that Jake's life is likely to change for both him and Saskia? What are the big things that are going to affect
them? Lack of time for yourselves, I think.
I think
because you've got that responsibility of another person. You can't just go out and whenever you want to. You can't just go to sleep or bed whenever you want to. And I think sleep deprivation comes into it quite a bit, doesn't it?
Sleep deprivation is huge. And also I have heard couples say that they're so used to getting in from work and maybe having half an hour on the laptop or doing bits and bobs, that's all goes to start with.
Mm.
So that your life's not really revolved around anything you do. That gets fitted into the needs of
the sort of no routine, and you've got to allow that. You've got to go with the chaos a bit because you can't have it so
all in
order like it normally is, your life.
That, which sounds to me, sounds very frightening.
Yeah, and it can be to start with, particularly if your lives are all in control. So if your work is very much in control and you've got a team and you know exactly what you're doing and you've got tasks to do, it's the same from both sides. But when you have a family, it's different. You've got to go with the flow a little bit and let things slide a little bit. But for a lot of people, they find that quite difficult. And it is an adjustment.
I think that's an increasing thing I find in younger people, especially young women. They're very much in used to being in control. So when you have a baby, that really takes that control away from you, and then that can make you feel quite anxious.
Mm.
So because you can't set times that your baby's going to wake or those sorts of things. So it can be quite an anxious time. For women,
constant change, you know, that constant, just, you know, and the thing is, even if you did set the time, it would be 2 hours early anyway, you know. It wouldn't matter, baby would know for some reason.
And then you worry, like, if you turned up for work and somebody said, you're sorry, you can't do anything yet because you've got to feed this baby for two hours, you'd be a bit like, oof.
Sometimes I do that to Les turn up.
You know, it's that sort of that you know, that can't be set in stone. That has to move around your baby.
Would you say it's important for me to sort of give someone a role as like a team leader for the duration of the first, just for the 2 weeks I'm away, just so they can take control? And because I think it's an added stress.
Business, I think it's really, really difficult, as you say, because it's your business, it's your income. Nobody's taking over your work. But I think if you have somebody there that's available for you for just, say, let's say 2 weeks, I think you would feel better because you would know the business was being looked after, or they would be able to notify you if there was something important. And also your partner would feel better because you're at home. And the first 2 weeks, it can be, you know, the first few weeks, but at least it gives you some time at home as a family, as three of you,
And that'll be the first and last time, then, you know, that's the only time you got it. If it's 2 weeks, I'd make it four. You know, put someone in charge and leave them. Say, do not ring me, because my son or daughter is born and I am at home.
The thing is, you could be in the hospital for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know, and then you don't know. The baby sometimes could have need antibiotics, or it could be, so it could sometimes be, you could be in the hospital for 5 days.
Yeah. I think for me, it's knowing that when I'm not there, because it's similar to when I, it's not similar, but when I go off on holiday and the boys are still working, as long as I know what's got to be done, they know what's got to be done, and there's structure, I think I can leave and I feel a little better.
Mm.
But because we're halfway through a very complicated job on a roof that involves not just skill, but manpower, which we now won't have without me there, and it's trying to get the logistics right on it before, because if I'm totally honest, it could happen whilst we're on this podcast. It could happen now at any moment.
Yeah.
And it's just being ready, I guess. But I never feel ready, regardless of how ready I feel at the job. I just think I won't be ready because this isn't ready, but...
But nothing's ever ready, nothing, though, is it?
You'll never be ready.
Because
you never know when it's going to happen.
No.
How do you think people should... Is it worth, when they've got a new baby and baby comes, do you think they should try and set a routine for themselves? Or is that sort of like old school?
Impossible.
Do you just go...
I think today they like to, don't they? Couples like to have a routine. They like to try and get baby to wake at certain times or have a certain amount of time sleep. So that they can form some sort of plan throughout their day, but it never seems to work like that. No. I always think going with the flow is a much better concept, I think.
I completely agree. I think that there's books out there and people say, well, I'm following this book, so I wake my baby up every so many hours. And it's only, I think, especially initially, you just have to go with your baby. It's very difficult. And in time, that baby will go into its own natural pattern and routine. But, you know... I don't think you can't make a routine.
No.
And I think you've just got to adjust to that at the beginning. You've just got to let it all slide. That includes housework, that includes still being in your pyjamas in the afternoon. It's all okay, you know. Yeah. I think people think that they have to be up and out, and I think, as I say, today's society sort of portrays that a little bit. You know, the social media, we're all losing weight after our babies, we're all looking good after our babies, we're all out doing this and that and the other straight away after our babies. But actually, to hibernate a little bit is what I'd recommend. Yeah. Shut the doors. Yeah. Don't let too many people in.
No.
Just adjust, because it is a big adjustment for the three of you.
Yeah, just, I think...
The dynamics.
How do you find things like... Are there any sort of particular issues that you find come up more frequently than others in terms of how people, you know, adjust or problems they have in dealing with babies? Because, you know, this is not just about Jake, this is about other people out there. They're working in an industry which is very physical in a lot of cases, or they're out and about working and then coming back and they want to be able to support their partner. It might be the, you know, the lady who's out working as well. She's like a garden designer or something. Do you find there are any sort of issues that come up frequently where, I don't know, which just cause a lot of problems, which need to be looked at? Things like lack of sleep or, you know, sort of psychological issues which may come, because you deal with trauma as well. So,
well, I'll let Anne talk about the sort of trauma side of things. But I think is not having an expectation of you know, that it's going to be something it's not. When you have a baby, your baby will wake every 2 to 3 hours for a feed. And it might take you 2 hours to feed the baby and get the baby back down again. It might go down for 2 hours and then it's awake for another feed. And I have spoken to ladies who have not sort of realised that. I don't know what they thought the baby was going to do, but your baby will feed that many times in a 24-hour period. So it's constant. So, you know, you sometimes, things like, you have to have a sleep in the afternoon, because if you haven't slept much during the night, you can't get up in the morning, get your baby ready, go out, be out all day, cook the tea, because you're not asleep at night. So sometimes it is pressing to say to him, you need to rest. You know, you need to ask people to go and do your shopping, or you can shop online now. You know, you don't need to be out there, you need to be resting. So when your baby goes to sleep, then you need to have time where you're sleeping, because you're not sleeping when you should be sleeping.
Yeah.
But people like to be very busy.
Not the way you should think about it. It's
no,
not that,
we're not very good at just going, actually, I've just had a baby.
Yes.
I can't do that.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, the first time I'd ever seen it, I was in New Zealand, and a chap who's worked for, shout out to Nevin Jeffries, Advantage Build, we were working once, and I remember, you know, at the end of the day, you think you've got a little bit of time left to finish something. I'd rather just finish it off, you know, and then crack on something else different in the morning. And I remember saying, and Nev said, you know, we're packing up now, so I'm just going to finish this off. He said, I'll give you a hand. And I remember, like, trying to do what I was doing, and he just stood, and he kind of turned around. I looked down and said, are you all right? And he went, I can't help you. It's not my time anymore. It's my kids' time. And I never forgot it. I just thought to myself, what an amazing thought. He went, no. I can't. This is not my time anymore. This is my children's time.
Yeah.
That's something I never got, you know. It's, you know, yeah, I definitely didn't get. But, you know, hearing it, I was just like, I was so like, wow, that's, it's not just your time. It's you know, don't take that away from your children. You know, it's their time. So, you know, when they come, you know, he comes back from work at, you know, 5:30, when he comes in the door, they're waiting, you know, any longer than, you know, he's eating into their time.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was really nice.
Yeah,
that is really nice. That is really nice. And obviously so important for those children. But I think those things as well is, you know, maybe making some cooked meals beforehand that you can not spend a lot of time having to cook, or looking at things that you can cook, or even just buying stuff that will save you time there. So looking at things where it can save you time, just initially, until you get yourself on your feet a little bit more.
So for the last 2 months, Saskia's been cooking an extra meal.
Excellent.
And freezing it. The whole freezer's, and our in-laws' freezer is full up.
She's organised.
She can fill my fridge up if you want. I don't know when you go get it. But.
Just need to. So, grandparents are very much involved, but I think for the first couple of weeks, we are going to try and keep it.
Yes.
Just get used to our own sort of family vibe before opening the doors, because I'm sure my parents will be.
Definitely, I think, in those first couple of weeks.
It's awkward for me. I think my mum wants to be there. My mum wants to help. My mother-in-law wants to help, wants to be involved. And but we want the help, definitely, when we want the help. But at the moment, we just want to be, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
We want to just get used to that.
I can imagine that could be a source of stress with everyone trying to butt in, and everyone wants to get involved.
Definitely.
And
is it a first grandchild?
Yes. For my wife's.
Okay. So extra
parents.
Sort of special then for her.
Yeah.
Family.
They're super excited, and I'm excited for them. It's a big thing for them as well. But it's a fine line. You don't want to be rude.
No, but you deserve it. You deserve it.
You need to have some time to manage it.
Definitely. And I think they'd appreciate the communication as well, you know. So I think you've got to be upfront and honest about it, to say, no, do you know what? This is our time. We're going to spend the next 2 weeks.
That's what I was going to say. Have a conversation with them and just say,
I'm sure they'll completely get it. I don't even think they will be there, but they'll want to be, but
all
there
they've
will
got
be
to do now,
Jake,
is listen to the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, so have the conversation. But it's lovely that you've got the supportive network around you.
Yeah.
Because now a lot of families don't have that, and they've just got the two of them.
Yeah, they are amazing.
And they're relying on their friends, perhaps, their social network, rather than family. Because sometimes, you know, family are away, or they don't get on, or so that can be harder. So tapping into family is really important sort of later down the line.
Yeah, definitely.
I think also with regards to birth trauma, that's on the increase.
Yeah.
We know that. So we know that about 1 in 3 women suffer from, feel traumatised from the birth. They may not, so they have those feelings of trauma. And actually 1 in 5 men now can feel traumatised from that experience.
But is that something that women talk about? Because you say it sounds like something that people would be able to recognise that there is trauma. But I imagine a lot of it is hidden, isn't it?
Mm.
So how would you become aware of the sort of signs of trauma? Or yeah. would you just ask, what would you be looking for to be able to support?
So you can have, obviously, a very difficult birth, but it doesn't mean that it's going to cause you birth trauma symptoms. Our minds process very, very difficult experiences naturally. And a lot of us, say out of 100, say 100 men, for example, let's take the women because that's the women's ratio. 100 women, 80 of those, even if they've had all difficult experiences, 80 of those will process the birth experience naturally in their minds, and it will just get slotted into their reference library of their mind. It's just a really difficult experience, but they'll be able to move on from that. The other 20 won't, and they will struggle with being triggered by driving past the same hospital, and it will bring back all of those same feelings. So it will be like heart palpitations, sweaty palms, really anxious, really worried, all of those types of things. Things like nightmares, flashbacks, you know, you could be washing up at the sink and all of a sudden the birth experience will come back to play in your mind. So it's those types of things which are more PTSD, which are the trauma-like symptoms. And that, if it's being triggered in that way, does really require a one-to-one sort of therapy type.
How would we notice that? Because a lot of those sort of symptoms are very sort of personal, aren't they, to a woman? And I imagine lots of women wouldn't talk about them unless they're quite good at opening up.
No, and there's a real stigma. I mean, funnily enough, I was talking about this at our drop-ins recently with groups of women, and they said there's a real stigma about saying that I'm really struggling with my birth experience and I need to go and speak to someone about it. And probably it'd be the same for men. I know men, when they've had difficult experiences, can join groups of, you know, they do football together and stuff like that, and they all talk about their births and stuff, and it's all just like a, you know, male chit-chat type of thing, and it comes out in that respect. But women say it's very difficult to go and see one-on-one therapists for that, but they will get support from each other. So they'll say, well, mine was really difficult, and then they'll realise that someone else has been through the same thing, and it's sort of like... Yeah, they get support that way.
They might not even realise they're traumatised, are they? Because if their heart's going, or they might not associate the symptoms that they've got with the actual birth.
No, and quite often they will struggle with those symptoms and they'll think it's other things.
Yeah.
It quite often gets misdiagnosed as depression. So you might go to see your GP or have your 6-week check and say, I'm feeling like this, and the GP will assume... maybe that you're feeling depressed, it's a bit of postnatal depression, and may then think, well, there's prescribed some antibiotics.
Mm.
When actually sometimes it could be that the woman just needs to talk through her birth, talk through about how she's feeling, you know, and sort of open up, understand what happened through the birth.
Mm.
Sometimes ladies will have had an emergency cesarean section, they don't know why, they can't remember a huge chunk of their birth, and we'll just remember, you know, the baby's suddenly there, and then feel guilty about that. They feel guilty about not remembering it because it's such an important time. So sometimes just by talking through, we did run one of these sessions at the NHS for a short while, and a lot of women found a lot of help just from talking through their birth with a professional that could just say, oh, that you know, could validate their feelings.
That's the validation is the thing. I hear you on that. It's just that if you once you know, you that's something that I can maybe process a wee bit and have a bit of a what can we do to what steps can we take,
and to understand that that was traumatic.
Yeah.
You know. That was difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, you know,
yeah, it's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it's not PTSD symptoms. Yes. That's where it's different.
But we shouldn't be as sort of fathers and things, we shouldn't be afraid of actually going asking a wife and asking them sort of questions. Or I'm always a bit nervous about how to couch those sort of questions. How are you feeling, love? Is it as simple as that? Or is it...
I think it's very difficult because I think it's very difficult for somebody close to you to say, but it is those people that will pick it up and see it.
Mm.
And it may be sometimes it's helpful to talk to somebody else to say, you know, I'm seeing these things in my partner, what do you think? And then maybe they might be the person that can say it.
But what's hard is the partner is also present at that birth. So how you perceive the birth experience would be very different from your wife's or your partner's. So she probably wouldn't want to say anything to you, the partner, because doesn't want to trigger him. He doesn't want to say anything to her because doesn't want to trigger her, because they're both dealing with their own experiences of that birth in very different ways. Yes. You might bury your head in going to work and, you know, let's just forget about it. I'm just going to slot it back in the back of my head. Your wife might be very different.
Do men have slightly different symptoms from women in terms of, or are they similar sort of traumatic symptoms?
Yeah, the traumatic symptoms can be the same. Yeah, but men are very good at not. I think women are much better at openly talking in a coffee morning type group.
Yeah,
than guys are, definitely.
Yeah, because I was sort of wondering, you know, thinking about, because they're, you often hear about things like baby blues and things like that. I mean, it's a bit old school, doesn't it? But I don't know. It's been a long time since we've had our kids. So, I mean, what do you look? It is just looking out for these symptoms, isn't it? And trying to be as supportive as possible.
And also you have the health visitor that comes in as well.
Yeah.
And now midwives, we used to discharge women around about day 10 to day 12, but we don't now. We discharge much later. So the health visitor will come in and then the midwife will come back later, because straight after birth, those symptoms aren't always there. They, you know, it's later on. So there has been changes in care for that. I mean, the what used to be called the baby blues is a sort of exchange of hormones at that stage where it's all imbalanced, and so, and you're tired and your milk comes in. So there's a lot of things going on, but it just really tends to be later on, and we don't really look at birth trauma until.
Oh, I wouldn't see anybody one to one until about 6 weeks, at least.
Right. So it is a difficult, and it is difficult, and that's why. It gets misdiagnosed, it doesn't get seen, it doesn't get addressed, and because it's difficult to identify those. And also women have to come forward and say, this is really affecting my life, this is not good.
Yes. I suppose the first thing is being observant, isn't it? Trying to see like behavioural changes in people so you can see, well, hang on, that doesn't sound quite right. Is that something
So it's noticing things like isolating oneself. So social things that perhaps you'd like to do before, I don't want to do that anymore. Mm. I don't want to go to that anymore. I want to stay in. I don't want to see my friends anymore. It's much more keeping themselves to themselves. Quite hypervigilant with baby as well, because often there's lots of discussion with trauma. I often find that women will say, I feared for my life and I feared for my baby's life. And partners can also say that as well. That's something that comes up quite often. So that hypervigilance around baby is very, very strong. So they're constantly watching, making sure it's breathing, making sure it's okay, making...
Right.
So it's tendencies like that, or behaviours like that, that you notice.
Yes.
I worry about how I will be, because I'm a very anxious person. And I know for a fact that when we, it's not quite the same, but we got a puppy and he'd just be laying down and I think, Saskia, he stopped breathing. And he's not, and he's just...
They're just like a baby.
Yeah. And I was so anxious and I was running over and making sure, waking him up. And I just hope I'm not like that. But you can't watch them literally every second of every... But I would want to, because I'd be so worried about putting a foot wrong. But I guess you just sort of go with it. And
well, you'll find out very soon, mate. Yeah.
I think also there's with a newborn baby, there's not necessarily always a right and a wrong.
Mm.
You know, there's not a book that's this is the right way to do it. I think we worry about that, and so it's about caring for your baby within what feels normal for you.
Yeah.
That, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that's difficult as well. You have to listen to a lot of people, or I'd put my baby here. And so there are guidelines, of course, you know, like sleeping with baby. There's lots of, the Lullaby Trust is really excellent at offering guidelines and, you know, how long baby should stay in your room, you know, how you should sleep baby for safe sleeping and all that. So there are definitely guidelines to keep by. But on the whole, it's just finding between two of you what works. What works for you?
Mm, yeah,
because a lot of it is common sense.
Yeah.
A lot of it's instinctual. You know what's right and wrong, and not to compare yourself to another family who, oh, he's their baby's doing this, or we should be doing that. Yeah. Like
the Instagram baby, the one that's perfect online. But
yeah.
How are you doing, Bill? You're not planning a family soon at all?
No. I can't. Yeah, no, I'm not planning a baby. Unless I could make my own one on my own. There's no chance.
On my own.
He would. He would try.
I would if I could.
We've come towards the end of our time. I mean,
do you have children?
I don't have children, but I am very much looking forward to having children. I'm very much so. I can't wait.
To see. Your dog, though, your dog, you treat him like I would expect someone would treat their son.
He's with me all the time.
That's what I mean.
He's with me all the time. We all work together.
You dress it up.
You've adapted to it, having a dog, and like there is obviously...
Well, I do definitely love that dog. I definitely do love that dog, but there's a definite... I can...
One of the things I think from just joining this podcast is I'm assuming you all work together.
We work in different industries, but we are different companies, but we're
sort of worked out.
Related industries,
yeah.
You see, and you've got a brilliant network. You've got these two lovely men here that will keep you on the straight and narrow.
I've got you, bro. I've got you, man.
And that's really one of the key things as well, is having like-minded people that you can talk to.
I believe their answer to every question is pub, though.
You might find, you know, over the next few weeks when you've had the baby, that those opportunities for you aren't as often as you might want.
Yeah.
But they will come back. But when you have a small baby, then, you know, you're not as available.
Means you've got to be a lot more tolerant, haven't you? A lot more, and just sacrifice other things, hasn't it? Because ultimately it's like, you know, especially supportive fathers, the wife's gone through the hard part. Mm. You've got to be there to help as much as possible.
I think so, and I think you have to look at it, and if you look at a bigger picture, you know, having a baby and, you know, before you know where you are, baby will be 6 months. That time is 6 months in the whole of your life.
You haven't got it. Yeah, that's what it is. It's never going to happen again.
Back. I wished I spent a little.
Do not miss. Do not. Just take 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
Just let someone else do it. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy.
But there are the practical things of, like, you know, you've still got to have money coming in. You've still got to make sure that you can pay the mortgage, and it's getting that balance right, isn't it?
It is. It's nice
to
be able
to take as much time off as you can, but...
Do you think maybe it's something you should tell your current customer? Like, I don't really tell people a lot, but maybe I could mention it that I am having a newborn baby. It might be a bit more chilled if I'm not there.
I think people would respect that. I think they,
I don't know many people that just don't love the idea of a newborn baby and like the idea that's important to you.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it is important. That is your child.
Mm-hmm. But then my problem is my biggest fear is letting people down. And 3 years ago, I was in quite a bad car crash. And before ringing my wife, I rang the customer to say I'll be late.
That's so conscientious, isn't it?
That might be something you might have to...
want to address that one. I think so.
I still went to work. I left after the ambulance dropped me.
Dropped him at work.
On my word.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It wasn't.
But on that, I suppose we better wrap things up now. Anyway, but so it's going back to you, Karen Ann. Where do people find more about Birth Connections? How do they get in touch with you? How do they find out what you do if they want to have a conversation?
So we're on Instagram. That's one of our main platforms. So that's Birth Connections UK. Same with Facebook, Birth Connections UK. Our website's birthconnections.co.uk. Anything else that we're on?
You do the drop-ins.
We do the drop-ins, of course.
In Tunbridge Wells.
When are they?
They vary. When they're at the old auction house, down at the Pantiles and at the Langton Pavilion, which is
right. Usually once a week, so we're at either one.
So people once just turn a week. Up at those.
People just literally turn up, don't need to book.
And then we do offer things like WhatsApp group, if people want extra support during certain periods, that they can just join a WhatsApp group.
Our talks we do at Kroger Birth Centre, so they can find us there, and we do various talks on birth trauma, baby first aid.
And then we do a discovery call as well. So sometimes we have calls from ladies that aren't quite sure what they need. You know, sometimes they don't need us. I mean, you know, we'd obviously say, well, actually, I think you need this. So it's good, you know, equally we can signpost as well. So we've got a lot of experience, so we know a lot of other people working locally that might be of a better support. But they can ring us up, there's a free discovery call, chat through what they're feeling, and then we can look to see how we can support them.
And would that work for men as well? Because if they're struggling and, you know, men bury their heads, if they're thinking, crikey, I'm really struggling with this, I can't, you know, how do I cope? They can still get in touch with you.
They can definitely get in touch with us through the discovery calls.
And get pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, and we can signpost them in the right direction. We have been talking, actually, Karen and I, haven't we, about creating something for partners.
For partners, yeah.
That's much more of perhaps a social thing. So, as you say, a lot more are working from home, a lot more are sharing the load of baby care, so a lot more are around during the day. So it'd be quite nice to have something for partners.
And men have, we have had conversations with a couple of men that sort of are struggling.
It's a big
good to know the help's there, though.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's an excellent service that you're providing. So we're delighted you're coming along.
Thanks for having us.
You know,
Thank you
it's brilliant.
Much.
I think it's a big help, for Jake. It's a big reminder for me as well. Crikey, what went on, and hopefully gives some insight to people out there, and things to look out for, and what to do if, you know, if babies are on the way, and how to deal with youngsters. So we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
And thank you for this slot.
See you later, guys. See you part two.